how do you follow a video like that? I don't even know how to begin to follow it. That's like focusing us. We have these beautiful hymns, and then I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to bring the realness and the rawness and the irreverent. So, yeah, I teach middle school at Push Ridge, so be prepared for some middle school humor today. In fact, I actually ran it by one of my classes yesterday. They're like, okay, you're saying this to the ladies at church? In fact, we talked about how the Apostle Paul modified his message by who he was talking to. So when he was in Athens talking to philosophers, he sounded like a philosopher. And I said, well, I have to do the same thing. The way I speak to you guys is not how I speak to the ladies at church. But yeah, it is. Yeah, you're going to get it. So they told me a while ago that our theme was gifts for the king. And I thought, well, what can I do with gifts for the king that hasn't been done before? Because there's been lots of messages on gifts for the king. These are just some of the ones that are going on right now. Everywhere around, you're getting books for gifts for the king. You're hearing sermon series. I think we've even had a couple women's brunches before that had a kind of a wise man theme. In fact, the one on the right, I went back through our archives online. That was a sermon series David preached exactly 8 years ago. December 4th, 2011, David did a sermon series called Unwanted Gifts. And he had a sermon on gold, a sermon on frankincense, a sermon on myrrh. And then he wrapped it up with Jesus, the most unwanted gift. And so that we've kind of gone every variation on that. So I'm like, what can I do? What can I say to you that you haven't heard a gazillion times before in all your Christmases? So I prayed about it, and I had a direction I was going. I thought, well, this will line up perfectly. If you give a gift to one of God's children, you've given a gift to him. That's where I'm going to go with this. It's perfect. Let's bless God's children. That lines up with the Uganda trip that we're taking in January. I thought, oh, how convenient that is. But I wasn't feeling it. And I kept praying about it, and words weren't coming. And I talked to Michelle about it, and I'm like, okay, well, Holy Spirit, what would you have me say? What do you want me to know? And if you want me to know that, then maybe there's somebody in here who else is in here that needs to hear it too. As I looked around, and I'm on like five or six, seven different text threads with different groups of friends, I realized that so many of my friends are carrying huge, huge burdens right now that are heartbreaking. Things in families and health issues and financial issues and job issues and just a lot of stress. I'm like, God, what would you have for us that you haven't done before? Sorry, you guys are like heaven's eyes are opening on you right now. Do you need sunglasses, Nona? So where we go? Oh, yeah, the first gifts for the king. You guys know this one, 1968? Yeah, the creepy claymation video. Yeah. I actually played that for some of my students this week. They had never seen it. They're like, what kind of CGI is that? I'm like, it's not. So I thought I would go a different direction, but I do want to give you a little bit of history on some of these gifts. You've kind of heard these before. You know the three gifts. They are. And each one of them history, we've kind of seen how each of them represent part of who Jesus is. The gold represents a gift for royalty. So that was pretty common to bring a gift. So it was signifying that Jesus would be our king. And then we had frankincense, which is like a gummy resin that they pull out of a tree. Both frankincense and myrrh let me check my notes here. They're from the sap from the camphora trees. And they harden that sap. They chip it off into little teardrops. You can chew it. You can burn it. When it's burned, it gives off a sweet, citrusy kind of a smell. In fact, they even have essential oils. Like, I didn't even know the skit. Yeah, they have essential oils for frankincense. You can put it in your diffuser. And then we have myrrh, which represents mortal death. Perfect gift for a newborn, right? Yeah, thanks, guys. And that one gives off a piney, bitter odor. But it can also be chewed. It's used in a lot of pharmaceutical stuff, for tooth powders, because it numbs pain. Myrrh is actually mentioned in Scripture quite a few times, other than the birth of Jesus. So you remember the dude Nicodemus? Nicodemus that went to see Jesus at night in John chapter 3. He's like sneaking around going, "Tell me, what must I do to be born again? What is this?" And Jesus is like, "Dude, if I speak to you of earthly things, you're not even getting all this." That same Jesus who had all these questions at night, Nicodemus is the one that Jesus said, you know, just like they lifted up, you know, that bronze serpent in the desert, we're going to have to lift up the Son of Man. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's who Jesus was talking to, was Nicodemus. In John chapter 7, we see that same Nicodemus, he's defending Jesus. Now it's not in the middle of the night. He's actually defending him in public. Then we see Nicodemus again in John chapter 19. Jesus has died. Joseph of Arimathea has gotten permission to take Jesus down. And Nicodemus goes with him. And they go to the tomb. And what does Nicodemus take? 75 to 100 pounds of myrrh. Now, typical burial spices for a regular person was 5 pounds. 75 to 100 pounds was what you used to bury royalty. So we wonder, did Nicodemus get his questions answered? I think he did. Because right there at the tomb, he is recognizing he's putting Jesus on the throne. Pretty cool. But really, all three of these gifts, they brought them to a newborn baby. Like, you have to give props to Mary for not looking at him like, what's up with that? The look on her face, I can only imagine. No casseroles, no diapers, not even a one free night stay in a motel that had real beds. You know, practical gifts would have been a whole lot better, but I often wonder, how did she respond to them? So, yeah, Kathy, let's go ahead and play that.
Welcome, I'm Benedict Cumberbatch, and today I'm going to be giving you an acting masterclass on how to fake appreciation.
Oh, really bad gifts. Okay.
Present number one. I love the wrapping paper. It's so sparkly. I'm going to save it for wrapping up next year's presents. It's so noisy, too. I love the noise it makes. A book, I love books. Microwave recipes, for one. It's just very pragmatic. I need this because I keep on accidentally making microwave recipes for two. This is the perfect gift. Thank you so much. I don't like wasting food because we're running low on resources as a planet, so this is incredibly, incredibly useful. And I don't have much time in my life for cooking. I love cooking, but I wish I had more time, so maybe this will teach me how to enjoy that fact by using a microwave. And if the food looks half as good as it does on this cover, it's great. Now, what I did there was took the title and attacked it with positives. Microwave. I hate microwave food. Just disgusting. It takes all the taste out, often the goodness. Recipes. Nothing wrong with recipes. For one. I mean, come on. What are you saying? That I'm going to be on my own all my life, so I'm going to have to use a recipe for one person? You know, so just turn that into, no, that's very useful. Anyway, you saw what I did. I should have looked at the price. $4.99. That's so generous. I'm so sorry. That's, you shouldn't have. Okay, this is present number two. I'm very excited. Ooh, because of salt. Oh no, really? Because I can't get enough of socks. These are so useful, and you know this is my favorite color, and I've worn through the ones you gave me 2 years ago, so this is the perfect replacement gift. Thank you so much. How did you know? That's so sweet. The wardrobe fairy's been telling you things. So I overdid it there, but I actually do like socks, so that's probably why. There was probably some genuine enthusiasm there. Always turn it into enthusiasm by, you know, pretending you're really small. I like it really much. It's so great. So then it's as if the gift dwarfs your sense of self, so the gift becomes enormous in its gratitude and thoughtfulness and brilliance. Just being really critical about my first effort at the masterclass in this session.
All right, so he goes on for like 5 minutes, giving different techniques you can do.
A more subtle.
And this video, the kid got the lesson. Okay, if you were in middle school, you would already know that video. That's a catchphrase going around. That's a Vine, a 7-second video the kids are talking about. You hear it a lot at school. An avocado! Thanks. No matter what I hand them, they're like, thanks. A test, thanks. They got the lesson. But you have to wonder, like, did Jesus ask for any of this stuff? Oh, frankincense. No, he's a newborn. He didn't ask for things. And we give our kids gifts. Here's a picture of my daughter, Skylar. She's now 23. And what did I do? I put a creepy clown in her cradle because I thought that would be the perfect gift. I couldn't wait to give my newborn baby this doll. And she hates the doll. That was never the doll that she carried around with her. But no, I thought that would be a really cool gift to give a newborn. She did not ask for it. I look at clowns like that now and I'm like, I only run twice in my life, when I have to pee or if there's a clown like this chasing me with a knife. That's the only times I run. And no, I put it in the cradle with my newborn. She didn't ask for that gift. And as my kids got a little older, I have three kids, Skylar's 23, Hannah's 21, Cody's 15, they started asking for different gifts. And I loved giving them gifts they actually asked for. Here's some of them. We started with rescue heroes. Anybody grow up in Rescue Hero? It's kind of the further version of Fisher-Price. Grow up with Fisher-Price? See, I say that, you understand. Okay. Rescue Heroes, and then we moved to Pretty Pretty Princess, Polly Pockets. Anybody know Polly Pockets? Anybody step on Polly Pockets? Step on Legos. We got Lego Star Wars. And then they started getting a little more pricey. We went to horse tack. Bridles, saddles. Yeah, we went to all those. We went to tetherball. Hannah could not wait to get a tetherball. My dad put it up in the yard. We went to a basketball hoop. We've done all kinds of things, big wheels, bikes. And eventually we all settled on, right there in the top right, iPhone. Mom, I want an iPhone. I want an iPhone. So those are all gifts that my kids actually asked for and got at one point or another. Now my kids are older. They don't necessarily ask me things. What do? We create a Google Doc. A Google Doc that my kids that live all over the country can put their Christmas stuff in. And here's our Google Doc from last year. In fact, my girls made it so easy, they actually hyperlinked the gifts that they wanted. Yes, which satin pillowcase here, Mom? You can click right here on Amazon. You can go right to the colors that I want. Liquid lipstick. Hannah's a nursing major at George Fox, so you can see some of the things that she wanted. A fancy nursing clipboard. Yes, there's a whole market for fancy nursing clipboards. You can put all your docs right in there. All kinds of stuff. And they even made me make one. So, yes, I did get a Stargate Atlantis poster for Christmas last year. The Enterprise crew poster. Yep, I got all those. But then Google Docs, you know, are editable. Is that a word? So my kids edited my list, and they added some things to mine. I went on there one day and went, I didn't ask for those. Five golden rings from the Lord of the Rings Collector's Edition box set. Catch up. I didn't put those on my list. They hyperlinked them to Amazon. Yeah. Who knew? Antique feather duster, 1925 model only. Yes, you can have a Christmas gift list that your kids can go and put Google Docs to. But if baby Jesus had a gift list when he was born, I don't think any of this stuff would have been on there. I don't think the stuff he got would have been on there. If Mary had put together a little registry, maybe, at the Bethlehem Target, I don't know what she would have asked for. We don't know what the baby Jesus wanted. But we do know what the adult King Jesus wanted. This one. We know what he wanted. In fact, right there above his head, it actually has a sign. It says, this is the King of the Jews. And we have his wish list. It's not on Google Doc, but I can click on it. I can go right to the address, and I can find exactly what he's wanted. It's not on Amazon, but it's in the Word. You want to see what he wanted? Yeah, here's what he asked for. The King's wish list. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What is he asking for? What's he asking for? your anxieties. That's what he wants. You thought Elmo oven mitts were a weird gift. How about asking somebody, give me all your anxieties? Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. What is he asking for? Our fear. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. He wants your burdens. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Give me your weariness. Give me your labor. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is he asking for? Our sin. He's asking for it. These are the things that Jesus has put on his list that he wants from us. Be still. Don't hurry. Know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He's asking for our hurry. All of these things, Jesus is asking us to take and offer them as gifts to him and to bring them to the gift drop-off point. Where do you drop off your gifts? You don't need to wrap them. You just need to bring them and drop them off. And there at the gift drop-off point is where we make the exchange. This is the gift exchange point. This is where we come and we give our anxiety, our fear, our guilt, our shame, our weariness, our sin, and we drop it off, and instead we pick up the gifts that he has for us. So here's what his gifts are to us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can make a list too. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow, I give him my anxiety and he gives me peace. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I give him my fear, guess what he gives me? Power and love and a sound mind. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I give him my weariness, he gives me rest. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He offers me help. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. You notice how much wisdom he'll give you? What's the word? Generously. Not just a little bit. He's going to give it generously. And here we've got my verse for the last 3 years. Joy Everhart, I can't say this without thinking of you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Three gifts right there. What do you get? You get joy, you get peace, you get hope. I cling to those. That's been my verse for the year, for the last 3 years. Now I have to tell you, the next verse is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. My seventh graders in third quarter, they have to recite the Romans Road. And I tell them, oh, I can't wait till we get to the Romans Road, because that's where I get to show you the best butt in the Bible. And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, the Bible's full of big butts. And they're like, Really? I'm like, yes, there's so many butts in the Bible. Big butts that change the world. And I lack big butts and I cannot lie. Here we go. This is the big butt that changed the world. For the wages of sin is death. See, you said it in church. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do we get? We get eternal life. You have to admit, that is the best big butt in the Bible, right? We've even got a list going at school. Best butts in the Bible. These all are the gifts that he's given us. And they're wrapped up and they're given to us. They're attractive. They're really, I hand them all my burdens and this is what I get back. It is the most lopsided gift exchange in the history of the world. In fact, if this was a white elephant, the white elephant's name would be grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. If this is our image of gifts for the king at Christmas, I'm going to challenge you as you go today to, yes, keep this image. This is cool. This is what you're going to see it in your nativity at home. This is what we're going to imagine. But I want to add an image to your mind. This is the image I want to add. Jesus, our King, standing there asking for these gifts that he wants you to bring to him. Your anxiety. Here you go, Jesus, just like you asked for. Here's my fear. Here's my guilt. Here's my weariness. Here's my shame. Here's my sin. And let's take it a little bit more practical. Oh, Jesus, here's my kids. My kids aren't making choices that honor you, and I am scared to death. My kids are living in a world that is so different than the world I grew up in. I'm scared for them. Here are my kids. God, there's stuff going on with my husband. It's too much for me to bear, Jesus, hear you. Or for those of us that don't have husbands. That's a whole separate burden. Here, Jesus, I'm giving it to you. My parents are aging. Their health is changing. What do I do? Here, Jesus, I'm giving it to you. Stuff at work? A job I'm stuck in, a job I need help with, a job I don't have yet but I really want. I'm giving my job to you. I look around this room and there's people in here struggling with health issues that they didn't have last year. Health issues that may or might not have answers. Doctors that may or may not have answers. Jesus, I need you to carry that. I don't know where it's going to come from. Jesus, you're going to have to make ends meet because I can't do it by myself. And grace, oh grace, here's one we can give him. When we don't know what's coming, we don't know what's next. We're looking, we're saying, oh, this is not good timing. Oh, this is a big one. What's next for grace? Jesus is saying, give it. Give it here. Give it here. This is a gift I'm asking for. I'm going to ask Jeanette to come up, and I'm going to have us sing a Christmas carol we have never, ever sung before at Christmas. We're going to take the song from David Crowder, Come As You Are, and we're going to turn it into a carol. Stand with me as we sing. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you have invited us to kneel before you. not as a baby in a manger, but as our risen Lord. God, you went to the cross for us. You took all of it on yourself. God, I pray that this morning, all of the burdens and the hurts and the weariness that we are carrying, we would give to you. Because when we give them to you, Lord, then our hands are open, ready to accept the gifts that you have for us. So God, this morning, I just pray that you would envelop us with your hope, your peace, your joy, your healing. Meet us where we are this morning, Lord, at the foot of the cross, ready for this exchange. In your name we pray, King Jesus. Amen. So, rather than this image, I'd like to leave you with the next image. Let this be a reminder of what Christmas is. It's not just the baby in the manger. It is a victorious king, ready and asking for your gifts and ready to give you the gifts he has for us. Now, it wouldn't be me if I didn't end it this way. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and in studying and preparing for this, I did a lot of Google searches on Mary and the wise men, and I kept coming up with pictures of my new favorite Star Trek actress named Mary Wiseman. Yes, that's her name, and she plays Ensign Tully on the CBS Star Trek Discovery, and so I leave you with this, ladies. May you live long and prosper as you give our king the gifts that he's actually asked for. Merry Christmas.